Perek Tes Pasuk Ches. Again, Perek Tes Pasuk Ches. This is the third time we had this pasuk. The third time we had this pasuk in the Sefer Hal Eben Lo Yefkod Bom Num Hashem Im Begoy Asher Kozel Lo Sisna Keim Nafshi. Hashem says, shall I not punish? Efkod always means to visit. Visit in this context means to punish. Hashem remembers. The word pekida, we had this many times, means literally to remember. For Hashem pokad es Avram. Es Avram, Avram. Hashem pokad es sorok asher amor. Vayas Hashem sorok asher diber. Okay, so the word pokad, pokad means to remember, but it usually means it's a remembrance which is accompanied by action. Zichira is just the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers, but does not necessarily mean that the remembrance will be accompanied by action. Pekida normally means there's going to be action. And sometimes the action will result in reward, and sometimes it results in punishment. In the case of Sora, the remembrance resulted in reward, in having a child. And in the case here, Hashem is saying, I'm going to remember, I'm going to punish them. Ha'al eilu lo yefkod bom num Hashem, for these sins, these transgressions, by yefkod, so yeah, there is another example where it's use of punishment. So here, therefore, this is a continuation of the preview in the entire parak, all the terrible sins that have been done. And here we're focusing specifically on the previous pasuk. This pasuk is a continuation of the previous pasuk, pasuk Zayin, that mentions the chait of Lashon Hara. So it says over here, Hal Eloi Efkod Bom Num Hashem Im Begoy Asher, because the nation that behaves as such, Lo Sisnak Hei Nafshu Uman Shom, and not exact vengeance. Let's see the Mitzudos David, Pasek Ches Hal Eile, V'chi Al Masim Ko Eloi Ashkiach Bom Li Par Mehem. Again, specifically we're focusing on what it says in the previous Pasek, the Chet Shochut Lishoinam, their tongue is a sharp arrow, or their tongue is an arrow that has been drawn, and it's ready to be shot, or their tongue is an arrow that has succeeded in bringing about death. So therefore Hashem says, I will not, it's not possible for me to be silent and not punish them. In the goy, that does such horrible things, can I ignore? Of course not. Hashem says it's going to happen. There is no Rashi. Let's look at the Radak. Hal Eile Kimavur Kimavurhu Lo Efkoid Bom. The Hashnayim Harishonim Ein Ksiv Bom Vo In Echad. What do you mean Hashnayim Harishonim? So the Radak is in very Mekatzri. He's saying there are three psukim. There are actually three psukim that this is the third time this pasuk has been mentioned. Let me read to you from the Medrash. Okay, we already did this. We did this when we learned the pasuk the second time. This goes back to Perik Hay. In Perik Hay, it said, Hal Eile Lo Efkoid. Okay, now that pasuk followed the sin of Hatoyas Hadin, corruption in judgment. And then again in Perik Hay, in Pasuk Chavtes, it said again, Hal Eile Lo Yefkoid, that referred to the sin of Arayos. It followed the Pasuk Susim Miyuzonim Mashkim Hayu Ishel Eishes Re'ehu Yitzholu. There it followed the Pasuk where the people committed adultery, they would wake up in the morning, they would feel fresh, reinvigorated from doing the Aveira of Gili Arayos. And here we have the third reference to this, the third time this pasuk is repeated, where it says Chet Shochul L'Shoinam. So go back to Perek Hay for a moment. Let's take a look at those pasukim over there. If we run back, Perek Hay, pasuk Chavtes, pasuk Chavtes in Perek Hay, just to see there inside. Okay, there it says Hal Eloi Loi Efkoid Nuum Hashem. Okay, notice here in Perek Tes, as the Radak points out, it says the word bum. Ha'al eile lo efkod bum. There it just says in Perek Hay, Pasuk Chavtes, Ha'al eile lo efkod nu'um Hashem, does not say the word bum. And that Pasuk followed Pasuk Chavtes, where it mentioned Shimu Shamnu, Oshesu, Gam Ovu Divrei Ra, Din Loidanu, Din Yosam V'Yatzlichu. And then we mentioned again the beginning of that parak. Where was the third reference? The third reference was from Pasuk Ches in the beginning of Parakeh. And Pasuk Ches, Susim Miyu Zonim Mashkim Hayu Ish El Eish Ashrayu Yitzhalu Ha'al Eil Loi Efkoi Nuam Hashem. There also does not say the word bomb. So the Medrash points out that there are three sins for which Kodesh Baruch Hu does not forgive. I'll read you the very harsh words. The words are V'ho'iver Alehen Ein Loi Mechila Lo Yom HaKippurim Mechaper V'lo Yisurin Memorkin V'lo Yom Misa Soleach. There are three sins for which there is no forgiveness whatsoever. Not suffering in this world, not death, there's no Mechila, no Yom Kippur, Yisurim will not help, and death will not help. And it's these three, and the simen is Sheleg, snow. Sheleg, Shin is Sheker. Okay, Shin stands for Sheker, and the Lamed is Loshon Hara, and Gimel is Gilui Arayos. And Sheker, we say Sheker means Hatoya Sadin, when people are corrupt in Mishpat. And people conduct themselves in the oifen of sheker. So the simen to remember is shelek. Snow is the simen for the three sins for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not forgive. It's explicit here in this post that we just read. Ha'al
eil. Shelek is white, and it's pure. It's just the opposite.
It's just a simen. It's just a simen. It's cold.
It's a simen to remember the opposite.
It's just a mnemonic. Mnemonic, you need a memory. Torah is nicknames the simonim. These three is Sheker, Lashon Hara, and Gilui Arayos. And all three have in common in Sefer Yirmiyah, it concludes with Ha'al Eile Loi Efkod Bom Nu'um Hashem Achut HaMashulash. It's the triple. Okay, let's go now to Pasuk Test. New concept, a new theme. Al Hehorim Esa V'chi Vonehi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, upon the mountains I will raise up. Upon the mountains I will raise up different expressions of crying. Crying, vonehi, means moaning. V'al na'os midbar kina, upon the beautiful pastures of the desert I will raise forth kina, a lament. Three different expressions. B'chi, nehi, and kina. B'chi and nehi is on the mountains. The midbar is kina. Ki nitzisu b'bli esh oiver, because the city Yerushalayim has been completely burnt, has been obliterated from the passage of man. The loshamu kol mikne, it will not be, it's not heard in the city the sound of animals. May oif hashman v'ad behema, from the birds of the heaven until the animals, nodudu, they have wandered, they have been removed, holachu, they have distanced themselves. So here the Pasuk is telling us, the theme of the Pasuk is telling us that the Churban is going to be so complete that not only will there not be men, not be human beings living in the land, animals will not exist in the land either. Now before we see the Mepharshim, I'll just tell you the general idea that I saw in the commentators. I saw this in Rabbi Hillel Michel Stern Sefer explains, because the Gemara has a story where the Gemara says, the Gemara had I don't remember the details, but there was a discussion, he doesn't bring in all details either, but there's a Gemara where one of the Amoraim had a discussion with a person that came from a city, and he asked him, tell me about your city. And he said, our city is corrupt, 100% corrupt. There's no Mishpat, there's Gilui Arayos, there's Shvichas Damim, there's Lashon Hara. Every aver you can possibly do is found in our city. And there's a long conversation. And the Amora was shocked that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tolerated, he let the people still live. At the end of the conversation, he said, it must be that the reason why the men, the human beings are alive, is in the Zuchus of the animals. The animals have done nothing wrong. They are birds, they're animals. They don't deserve to be harmed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. Why should Hashem harm them? So Hashem has to provide an environment for the animals. So in the zuchus of the animals, Nemeila Hashem lets human beings live. We have this principle that sometimes a person does not, even the person is deserving of punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds punishment because of the collateral damage. If one person is going to suffer, his family will suffer with him. And they don't deserve to suffer. They have done nothing wrong. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives or is tolerant of people who do averos because he does not want to cause unnecessary pain to those people that he is affiliated with. This concept extends even to animals. Sometimes animals have done nothing wrong, and Hashem created them. Hashem feels it's his duty to let them survive. And if Hashem is going to destroy the country, the animals will suffer. suffer. So Hashem tolerates the conduct of sin among men in order in the zechus of the animals. And that's exactly what this pasuk, the Chilmuchel study, Shtolzu, Zakamor, to this pasuk, and explains that's the meaning of this pasuk. Hashem says that the animals will also be destroyed, because if Hashem will let the animals live, Hashem also may, that might be a zechus for Hashem to tolerate the human beings. And Hashem at this point does not want to tolerate the sins that have been committed in Yerushalayim. So therefore, the animals are going to be exiled, and now the only ones left that are going to be judged will be the human beings, and they are not deserving. So there'll be a complete galus in Yerushalayim. Let's see the mitzvot of the pasuk test. Al harim al churban harim ashaloi tzamchu. Arim kol bechi v'ilala. I'm crying over the destruction of the mountains that will no longer bring forth vegetation. I'm going to go bring forth sounds of cries. V'al neos midbar v'al churban ahalei harayim asher b'midbar arim kina. I'm going to lift up kina over the churban of the tents of the shepherds who set up their tent in the desert to pasture their animals. Kinasu
the wilderness
of Eretz Yisrael, where the people who live in Yerushalayim, they set up their tents in order to go pasture their animals. Kinasu shemama, because the entire land and its surrounding area will become desolate. Ve'ein ish oiver sham v'lanishma kol mikneh. It will not be heard the sound of cattle. Ki ha'oyev shalom la'atzma. The enemy will plunder the animals for themselves. Nadudu halachu, the animals will distance themselves from the land. Nadudu mimukhaimam, they will be uprooted from their location. Mahalchu lachem ki roif ha'oifos yishkinu b'mokem anoshim. So here the Mitzvah explains that derech pshat is that birds only live in places, they frequent places where there's human habitation, because human beings, they live off their garbage. Like in Flatbush, there are a lot of cats. The cats are very fat. There are a lot of fat cats. Fat cats in Flatbush, because in Eretz Yisrael, the cats are emaciated, if you've ever noticed. Because there's no food in the garbage in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, there's not a lot of waste, because there's a very great need. And in Flatbush, Baruch Hashem, there's prosperity, and there's a lot of food in the garbage cans, and the cats have a lot what to eat. So if there's nothing what to eat, so the cats are going to go, they're going to leave. There's no for them to survive in this land. So that's exactly what's going to be. It says that birds are the same thing. They only frequent a place where there are human beings. They live off them. And now that men have been gone to Golis, there's no purpose in them staying around. There they'll find food, they'll find leaves, for their food. So therefore the birds will go away and the animals will be taken by the enemy. Okay, that's the pshat. So let's see what it says in Rashi. Pasuk tes al harim al churban heharim. Same thing as the mitzudos. I'm going to cry over the churban of the mountains. V'al neos midbar, on the beautiful pasture area of the desert. Neve royim shem midbarios, the pasture of the shepherds that is in the wilderness. Naos loshon nove. The word naos comes from the word nove, a dwelling, an abode. V'chei naos elokim, the dwelling, the abode of Hashem. V'chei leveischa nove kodesh. On a pasture, a luscious pasture, lie me down. And here, v'chein leveischa nova kodesh, we say that in davening, that your home is a dwelling of holiness. Your home, Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, is an abode, is a habitation of holiness. Nitzisu l'shon tzia, it means utter obliteration. V'chein nitzisa, the word nitzisa has the same shirish, the nun and the tzadi, it means destruction, obliteration, there's nothing left. Nadu halachu soifon lelech, they're going to disappear. And now we come to a very popular medrash. Rashi draws the medrash and he says, chamish mushtayim shon le'ovar ish b'Yehuda. For 52 years, it was not a human being did not step foot in the land of Eretz Yisrael from the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, and that's the moment when Tzidkiyahu was exiled, Migolos Tzidkiyahu, ad Pikudas Koresh, until 52 years later, when Koresh issued his proclamation that the Jewish people can return to Eretz Yisrael and begin to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Ad Koresh Melech Poras Chamish Mishtaim Shon Hayu. How do we know that it was exactly 52 years? Because the Gematria of Behema is 52. Mem, and then it's 40, the two hays is 50, plus the bays, remez davar, the ad behema, until 52 years, they will not, a bird will not pass through the land. Is found precisely b'meseches Megillah. Okay, so the calculation, always the calculation of 52, that is the discussion of the Gemara, the Nevuah of Yirmiyah coming up a little bit later on, is that for 70 years, after 70 years, I will revisit Yerushalayim. There are, what exactly is the calculation of the 70 years? But part of the calculation is 52 years. That's one piece of the big puzzle. And it was 52 years from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash to the time when Koresh issued the proclamation to return to the land. And that's the minimum here in this pasuk. And it's telling us the klola. It's a klola, but it's also a bracha. Because the fact that there was no animals, there were no birds, was also a reason why other nations did not occupy the land. If you imagine, they always say this, can you imagine that if Eretz Yisrael had oil, could you imagine if there was oil to be found in Eretz Yisrael, we wouldn't have a chance. The land would have been taken over by the Arabs, and a long time ago, and there would be no chance for us to go and have any achiza in the land due to the jealousy and the greed of the Umos Olam. But the fact that there is no oil in the land, I mean, now they say there is oil. Now they have new technology, what is it called? The shell? They sell, they find, but until at the time when it was critical, when there was the other type of oil, so therefore it was a blessing in disguise that the Umos Ha'olam did not deem it worthy of the worthy to occupy and to prevent us from taking it back. Same thing over here, the fact that for 52 years birds, animals did not walk in the land, that was a sign that it's not a place, a healthy place to live. Today, whenever, it's a fact, whenever I don't know what the term is, but whenever different scientists, when they want to decide, they want to develop new cities, new areas of development, the first thing that is done is to test the environment for signs of wildlife, to see if there are birds, there are animals, because if there are no animals, if the wildlife is below what is expected, normal, that is a very bad sign. That means there's something wrong with the environment. It's not healthy for human habitation.
Sitting,
what?
Develop areas where
no, they'll remove, they'll just protect themselves, but the fact that there are birds, there are animals, that is a sign of life, it's a sign of health, that the land is vegetation, is a sign that it's a healthy land. If the animals could survive, that means humans can survive. If you have an area where there are no birds,
and development
what?
It can be even more than air conditioning.
There are certain minerals. There are certain signs of health and life. If there's wildlife, if you have wildlife, so here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he cursed the land in that he prevented even birds from flying over the land for 52 years. It goes without saying human beings did not enter the land, but in disguise, this was a blessing. This is what it says the commentators, because this kept away other nations from attempting to occupy the land. Had they occupied the land, then when we would have come back after 52 years to take back our land, they would say to us, sorry buddy, it's already ours. You can't come back anymore. We already built houses, we already took possession. So it was indeed a blessing
so
in disguise.
It is, we know that Israel, by far, scientists will tell you, is the most populated by birds than any other place.
By birds?
Birds, they had, Israel has the most
birds
in the world.
And here it says not even a bird passed through
the confluence of three continents, so that's like a transship point for all the birds that cross it from Africa to Asia and Europe.
Migration routes.
And yet it says here in this post that during these 50 years a bird did not fly through the land. That's an amazing insight. Okay, let's go to the next.
The Arabs controlled the Kotel, there were no birds there.
The Arabs?
When they controlled the Kotel, there were no
birds flying. Wow. Now the unlimited, the birds, it's a problem because they also they do their thing. Okay, let's go further. Okay, Pasuk Yud. V'nasati es Yerushalayim legalim. Now the Pasuk concludes, I will make Yerushalayim into a pile of stone. Galim is rubble. Me'on Tanim, it will be the abode of Tanim. Tanim are are snakes. Tamim, lizards, different types of... we don't know exactly what these things are, but it doesn't sound good. You don't want to be crocodiles. You don't want to be with these creatures. Tanim are some type of creature. Some type of creature. Here it translates it as a serpent. Serpents. The S. I will establish the cities of you to be desolate. Then no one will be dwelling in this land. Let's see what it says here in the Mitzudos David Pasik Yud. Pasuk says, "Legalim ki yinotesu habotim, the homes will be demolished. The yiyu galay avonim will be a pile of stone. The yiyu mador letanim will be a dwelling place for snakes. Kidarkam lishkoin bein galay avonim, because snakes like to live in rubble. Nibli yoshev ki kulam yelchu begolus, every single last person will go into exile. There will be no one left to live in the land. Rashi pasuk there is Rashi just one word. Rashi legalim digurim. Digurim is the targum." Let's in fact take a look at the pasuk in the targum. Pasuk yud. In this targum, the etain, I will set yas yushleim li yagorin. Yagorin is a translation of galim, which seemingly means rubble. Okay, it's going to be a medar tanim. It's going to be medar yehudin. It's going to be a dwelling place of yehudin. Yehudin means snakes. The Yath Kir Vayod, the base Yehud Etel Litzadu, it will become desolate. Mibli Yosei, with no one living there. Okay, let's now go to the next story. Now we come to a very popular section of Sefer Yirmiyah. This, in fact, might even be the most famous part of Yirmiyah, this next pasuk. Mi ho'ish hechacham v'yavein ezos. Who is the man who is wise and understands the following question? What's the following question? The following question is, why did Hashem let out His anger on Yerushalayim? Now, what's the... I mean, it's not really a question. We've just spent almost 9 parakim going through over and over again. How many different ways can you say that you've done basically every Avera you can possibly do? Yet, it seems from the question that just because you do an Avera doesn't mean Hashem is going to punish you. We all know that in school, and children, you know, they can misbehave. Parents, don't throw them out of the house. It doesn't happen so quickly. A parent will take a child and remove him from his home for a crime, for an avera, for misbehaving. So even though, I mean, there is over here like some ray of hope in this pasuk, in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually asked the question after going through 9 parakim and describing all of the averos, it would seem that it's still not enough. It's still not enough to be exiled from the land, even though we've done all of these averos. Who is the man to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken to? Hashem has spoken to the Agida, let him go and give over the answer. Because the truth is, the pasuk has a connotation that after, no matter how much you try to think, you're not going to figure out the answer. Mm-hmm. And indeed, that's exactly what the Midrash is going to say in one moment. No matter how wise and discerning one may be, he'll never come to the answer. And the only one that will know the answer is to a person who has received the answer directly from the source, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the recipient of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's communication, and he will now, Yagida, he will reveal, he will let it be known, Al more of the Haaretz. Why was the earth destroyed? Nitzisa ka chamidbar. Why was the earth, you have to repeat the word Alma. Why was the earth obliterated? Nitzisa really means to be burnt. Nitzisa was it parched. Chamidbar, like a desert, nibli oiver. Pasig yud beis. It also means there to be burnt, to be parched. Pasuk Yud Beis, Hashem responds, Vayemar Hashem says, I'll tell you, Al Ozvam Es Toirasi. You have abandoned my Torah, Asher Nosati Lefnehem, that I presented, I've given to you. V'leshamu V'koili, you did not listen to my voice. V'leholchuva, you did not follow. You did not follow in it. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayelchu acharei shirirus libam. We had that word many times. It means one of two things. Simply means the yashrus of their heart. Yashar. Yashar means whatever their heart told them. Ish ha yashar be'enav yaseh. Ki b'shivus. So that's the question. What does it mean? Ki b'shivus to be aleph. So there are two different translations. We had this before. It means yashar, whatever my heart tells me to do. I will not listen. I will not deviate. Whatever my heart tells me to do, I will do. I will, my desires. Or it means the stubbornness, like you say, v'hakol sharir v'kayam. All his strong sharir v'kayam has been established. And it's really a repetition of the word kayam. It's a fact. It's been established and it's now a fact. So there in that context, when you read the ksuba, you read the tanaim, sharir means it is strong. And there when you take that word and you put it into this pasuk, it means the stubbornness. People, they do whatever, I'm stubborn. I know it's wrong. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I don't care. I'll do whatever I want to do. So it means yashar, what I want to do, I will do. Or the stubbornness of their heart. V'acharei haba'olim asher limedum ha'vistam, they followed after the ba'olim, the ba'olim, the avodah zara, which they have been accustomed to from their forefathers. Okay, there's a lot going on. Let's work backwards. First, before we get into the mitzvot, I want to say something important yesod. On Pasuk Yud Beis, there are three different expressions when Hashem response. And Pasuk Yibayz is Ozvam es Toirasi, that's number one. Number two, Asher Nasati Lefnehem, that's number one. They've abandoned the Torah which I've given them. Number two, V'loy Shamu V'koli, they did not listen. And number three, V'loy Hol Huba. Three Madregos. Madrega number one is they did not observe the Torah with passion. They have abandon the Torah which I've given them. Now the Farshim explained that's a high level. Hashem gave you the Torah. I mean, what more can you want in this world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself gives you a gift. You should be passionate to observe and to cherish the gift. Alright, maybe not everyone is holding at that level. But at least, if you're not passionate, at least do it seriously. That's the next Madrega. They didn't even listen, take it seriously. Passionate, you don't want to be. I'm not going to hold you responsible. But at least listen to what I have to tell you. The third madrega is, they didn't even do it by rote. Sometimes a person is not very passionate, a person is not very serious. But at least you come to davening, you just, mitzvahs anoshim milimuda. Milimuda is also not so bad. I remember, this is really not a nice thing to say, but no, I'll tell you, it just always made an impression upon me. I had a friend many, many years ago. He was a brilliant, brilliant fellow. And he went through a very hard time. We came from a very large family. And he got into a fight with his parents. Parents were very, there was a lot going on in his life. There were a lot of problems. And he went through a very difficult time. And he was close to a certain rav. And he told the rav that he has tainus on the Ribbono Shel Olam. He has tainus. That's what he said. I want to try to say. Of course, I just want to tell you what happened. Ma'ay shalei kachaya. And he can't take it anymore. And he has tainus, and he doesn't want to daven. He doesn't want to wear tefillin. He wants out. So the rav said to him, you know, I hear, there's a lot going on. You know, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. You know what? Just go to shul, put on the tefillin, don't have any kavanah. Put on the tefillin just mumble the bracha with a zero kavanah. Just go through the motions. That's all I'm asking you. In other words, things are not going your way, and it worked very well. He listened, he just went through the motions, and then he got everything straightened itself out. He was very passionate, you know, very angry, and rebelled, and who knows, and left for a short period of time, who knows if he ever would have come back. And if the Rav, or the psychologist, didn't tell him the right thing, you know, maybe some psychologist would tell him, okay, so take a break for a couple of weeks, I mean, whatever, would not have told him this, so just do mitzvahs anoshim limud. Block out any thought of God, any thought of religion, just do the mitzvahs by rote. Cool off. How do you not give him this advice? I mean, and this advice worked for him. No, different strokes for different folks. There's something to it. I always think about that. There's something that sometimes we always criticize. We're always hearing Musar from the Rabbanim, Bali Musar. Mitzvah sanasha melimuda, you just go through life by rote. You don't take anything seriously. You know, people come, they daven, they mumble, they don't remember. Did they daven? They didn't daven. They don't remember anything. And it's not the way to live your life. It's absolutely true. But that's also, there's also merit. There's also merit in going through the motions without any meaning. Going through the motions also has some meaning. Yeah. And therefore, that's exactly what I saw the Mefarshim say about this pasuk. They say, Hashem et Hainus and Klal Yisrael. Ideally, I want you to be passionate about Yadus. I gave you my Torah. I gave it to you. Don't you think you should observe a gift that I personally gave to you? All right, you don't want to be passionate about Torah. Fine. V'leshama v'koli. At least take it seriously. You know, recognize the chomer hadavar. You don't do haveros, you do mitzvos. No. All right, you don't want to take it seriously. At least go through the motions. At least, if you would even go through the motions, come to shul, put on your tefillin, don't even think about it, just stand the Shemona Esrei and daydream during the Shemona Esrei. If you would have done even that, then I wouldn't have brought the Chorban. The Golos would have not happened. You'd even go through the motions, that's the third expression, V'loy hol chuba. You didn't even go through the motions. Going through the motions would have been a safety net for you, a redeeming quality that I would not have brought the total chorban, total chorban.
Some of us are saying the fuposai in Telchuimi Keri, that's shot basically. As long as you could scream at me, yell at me, have kindness to me, means we're still having a conversation. But in Telchuimi Keri, if you treat me like I don't exist,
totally out.
Then you got problems.
Okay, it's a very interesting idea. All right, now let's go back to them. Let's go back to these two psukim inside. There are a lot of ideas. Let's go. I'll say there. Let's start with pasuk Yud Aleph in the Metzudos David. Who is the person that is Yovein as Zos? Now, what is Zos? Understands this. So Metzudos Al Derech Pshat tells you Ha'omu Lamata Al Mo Avdar. Zos is referring to what it's going to say in pasuk Yud Beis. You can't in pasuk. I'm sorry. At the end of the pasuk, Alma of the Haaretz. Now, notice the word Avda. We're getting to a little Jewish. Is a unique expression. It doesn't say Alma Golu Min Haaretz. Why were you sent into exile? Avda, or it doesn't say why was the land? It says Nitzisa Kamidbar. All right, but it does say in the second half of the pasuk that it was burnt. Like a desert, it was lashon of desolation. But Avda is something which is a little bit. It's like all hope is lost. Okay, so we'll keep that in mind. We'll come to that in a moment. Al mo Avda, Ritzam Olamata. Al mo Avda, v'Hashem Diber. Ritzon Eloimar. Miyuish Hashem Hashem Diber Bo. Who is the man to whom the Navi has spoken? To in other words, Hashem is admitting that you'll never ever figure it out. The only one that will be able to reveal the secret is the person who is a prophet who has received the answer from me. Asher Dibra Hashem Hu Hanavi V'Yagida V'Yagid Midaita. He will reveal Midaita Bavur Mochav L'Aretz V'Nas Hashemama Kamidba Mibli Mi Oiver Shama has become desolate. The desert, no human being has passed. Ritzan Eloymar Mahu Hadavar Ho Ikari B'Dvar HaChorbin. What is the primary? Here the Metzudos very accurately, he's coming to hit home on what the pasuk is. What is the primary cause of the Churban? Obviously the Metzudos is bothered, we're up to Paratas, we've already gone through at least 50 different reasons why the Churban happened. But what's the primary reason? Chomor, Ein mi bohem yagid zos. There is no one out there that knows the true reason. Pasuk Yibayz, Hashem says, I'll tell you. Vayemer Hashem, hamokam yatzmer oma sho'ikohu ala sho'ozu es toirasi. Ritzon loymar, sheloy lamdu es ha-toira. They did not study Torah. Ulechei lo shamu b'koli, they did not listen to my voice b'chol hadvarim. So therefore the mitzvah der psha learns, if you don't learn, you will not know what to do. V'leholchu b'derech hator l'kayim mitzvah seha, you're not going to be able to mekayim the mitzvahs. Godol limud, shel limud mevi, lidei maisa. The highest degree of learning Torah is lasuke shmaitza, Aliba the Hilchasad, to conclude with learning to know how to decide to render halachic decisions. Kim Osko B'Toyro Hoya Hamma'or. Now, this is a beautiful expression. This is something which is quoted. I saw this quoted, and when I read in the comment, a lot of the Mefarshim, they like to pick out these words. Hoya Hamma'or Sheba. If they would have busied themselves with Torah, the light, the lichtekeit in Torah, Hamor Shaba Machzir Oisam Lamut of would have restored them for good. Al Bavushli Oskuba, because they did not busy themselves, Bol Chol Eila HaPeshoim, they've come to all of these sins, the Avda Haaretz Ba'avoinam, and the earth has been destroyed due to their sins. Now the Metzudas touches upon something which is very interesting. And it's a very big debate we once discussed. It's a very big debate today in the world of outreach. There are many great organizations that are involved in outreach. And the big question is, what is the technique that should be used in order to be Makarev Achenu B'nei Yisrael? And of course the answer is, there is no one catch-all solution. There are different strokes for different folks. Some people, birthright is gold. You send the person to Eretz Yisrael for a summer, it does wonders. Before you turn around, they're sitting in Kol Chazonish. All started with birthright. For some people, you learn. Some people, what are all the? I don't remember all the ideas. It's not just but
obviously there's an intellectual approach and there's an emotional.
Right, exactly. They're emotional, but among the intellectual approaches, there are many different techniques. Some people go to a discovery seminar and they'll teach you about the codes of the Torah. I mean, it's very controversial. That's going to stimulate you to become religious. That was proven not to be very effective. And then there is all different types of approaches. But among a very significant group of people, there is a very strong belief that the technique is a very simple technique. Is just to learn Torah. If you learn about Shor, Shenogach Esapara. Again, this is not approached not for everyone, but I just want to bring out this point. You learn about Shor, Shenogach Esapara, Shnayim Oichazim Metalis, Zeibe Kulishli, Zeibe Kuvishli. What does Shnayim Oichazim Metalis have to do with Klal Yisrael, with Yadus? There's some magical spark in the learning of Torah that awakens, that ignites a person to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's proven to work. I remember when I was in high school, they had a then it was called Yad La'achim. Now they've broken up. The part that we used to be filled with Yad La'achim now became Lev La'achim. Yad La'achim does missionary work. It did two different organizations. And I remember that someone came to speak to us and he said that in Eretz Yisrael, what they do, the technique was they would take yeshiva boys and they would send them to different irreligious neighborhoods. And they would knock on the door. So you do this in America, by the way, you go to jail. So don't try this at home. But in Israel, it's a different culture. It's a culture of chutzpah, almost. You can do this in Israel, you can't do this in America. You go to an irreligious neighbor, you knock on the door, and you have in your hand two gemaras. And you say, hello, I want to learn with you. I'm not here to discuss the army. I'm not here to discuss politics. You're irreligious. You're completely. I just want to sit down and do nothing with you but sit down and learn a daf gemara. And the guy will say, "Get out of here!" And he'll start cursing. No, I have even more chutzpah than you. We're going to learn a daf gemara. We're going to learn. And finally, after arguing, you push your way into the guy's house. So you sit down. You learn with him for half an hour. And then he says, after half an hour, this has been proven a million times over. All right, very interesting. Come back tomorrow. Let's do this again. And slowly but surely, and what are they? What are they? They're not talking about politics. Not talking about the world. Just to learn a daf gemara, it somehow magically opens up a spark in the person. Again, not everyone is so crazy about this idea, but that's really exactly what it says here in the Mitzvah stuff. He says he brings out this idea. What?
Leaving off the chutzpah, you have that partners and tolerance.
Partners in Torah in America, it's more voluntary. In America, you can't do it.
You can't do that without the chutzpah.
In America, you knock on a person's door and you say to them, I want to learn with you, daf gemara, they'll say, I'm calling the police. Get off my property. Private property, you're trespassing.
Witnesses do that.
What?
Witnesses do that.
What do you mean witnesses?
Jehovah's Witnesses. They come in and they try to proselytize.
Okay, but it doesn't work. In Eretz Yisrael, you all know, it's a very rough country. You all experience this. Everyone is very, very tough. It's a whole different type of culture. This mindset, it works if it's done the right way. But here it says exactly what it says here. These are very beautiful words. Ki im osku ba Torah, had they busied themselves in the learning of Torah, hoya ha-me'or shaba, the lichtekeit of Torah, machzir oisam lamutav. Aval, bavur shle osku ba, bo l'chol eile ha-pashon. There's no learning Torah, then the person's life, you're missing that spark in life. It's just a slippery slope. All the way down, the of the aretz ba'avoinam, due to their sins. Pasuk Yud Gimel, they go in their shirido slibam. He translates mashlibam ra'av v'chamad, whatever their heart desires. That's like yashar. If you look over here, I know there's a third interpretation, lashon of seeing, to see.
So it's what your heart rules.
That's another interpretation. Yeah. Look at the mitzudos tzien, how he taiches sarada inyun ri'ia, like benos tzadu. Right, many times. Asher shayru anosha means to see. Okay, asher limdu avoysam, asher hirgilum avoysam. Their forefathers have accustomed them to doing averos. Okay, that concludes Pasuk, that concludes the Rashi, the Mitzudos. Now let's go to the Rashis. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Mi HaChacham Shiyavin Zos, Mi HaNavi Asher Diber Pi Hashem Elav. Who is the Navi that understands this? The Chacham. Mi is the Navi to whom Hashem has spoken to? The Agida. I guess here, according to Rashi, means maybe the Navi, maybe he has greater intellect. Maybe the Agida, Mi Yagid Al Ma of the Haaretz. Is there anyone out there that is able to reveal? You think like a third person. Maybe the Chacham knows, maybe the Navi knows. The Agida, is there a third person who knows the answer? Al-Mo of the Haaretz, Bo Kol HaPoronis HaZer. Rashi very simply says, why did all of this punishment come to the land? Again, the Mitzudos was a little more elaborate. What's the Ikar? What's the Ikar? And what does it say? And that's the end of Rashi. Now let's see the Radak, starting with Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Radak begins... Miyesh Hachacham Yavin Azos, Yavin Midait, understands this on his own. V'hanavi Yagid HaTeshuva V'hashela, and the Navi will reveal the question and the Teshuva HaShela K'mo Shemar Lo P'i Hashem. The Navi, I'm not really sure what he means with this. We'll speak over the answer, Teshuva V'hashela, the question K'mo Shemar Lo P'i Hashem. All right, whatever that means. Pasuk Yibayz V'yomer Hashem V'yomer Hashem Kamo Lifnehem. Loi ba'shamayim hi v'loi me'ever layami. This is taken from Medrash. Hashem gives you the answer. You do not, as Torah says, asher nasati lifnehem. Don't dare say that the Torah, it's too difficult. I gave you a Torah that was practical. It was easy to fulfill. It's lifnehem. It was not in heaven. It was not me'ever layam. I put it b'ficha uvavcha la'asaisa. It was easy, and therefore there's no one to blame but yourself. Yelchu b'shirus perashnuhu l'mayla. He's
similar
to tosim lifnehem. Lifnehem v'loy l'vdiya chazal da'ash lifnei our coast, not in front of the courts, the secular. Okay,
but there's an interpretation that it's
accessible.
A sidur, yeah, that's already in place.
Limdum avoysam. Okay, ready? Shrius, he already explained. We discussed that. Limdum avoysam. Hirgilu b'chem ha'avoys. The avoys have been. Your forefathers have been accustomed to these sins. V'ro avoysam oibdim oysam. V'avodum gam heim gam kein achareihem. The avoys madoros harisham shavu. As we know the halacha, the student the chazal, a paiked avoy and avoys albanim, the albanei banim al shileshim the al ridayim. Hashem punishes for four generations. But we have a contradiction. It says in the pasuk, it says lo yumsu avoys albanim bam lo yumsu alavos. And the Gemara answers kisha oisim masse kishadukim b'masse avosim. When they continue to do the sins of their fathers, not only will I punish them for their sins, I'll punish them for the sins of their fathers as well. And that's what happened over here. That this generation, they took the full punishment for all of the generations that angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that ends the Mitzvah in the Radak. Now let's discuss that. What is the classic Chazal? The classic Chazal is Al Mo'av Asher Ozvu Es Toirasi. Chazal interpreted to me they did not Shlei Beruchu Ba Toira Tchila. Let me actually read the Medrash. It's Kedai to read the words of the Medrash. Okay, the words of the Medrash are Milya Shechacham. This comes from a Gemara. It's not a Medrash. I take it back. It's a Gemara Bava Metzia. And Daf Pehe Omid Aleph. And Adorim And the Gemara there says, "Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ma'adch Siv Miyoh Yish Hechacham V'Yavin Esoyis V'Hashadib V'Hashpi Hashem Elav V'Yagida Alma V'Daretz Ki Dvar Zeh Nishal LaChachamim V'Loi Pershuha Nishal LaNeviim V'Loi Pershuha Ad ShePershoy Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bi'Atzma Shnemar V'Yom Hashem Al Ozomes Terasi Hashem Nosi Lufneim." What does that mean exactly? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheloi Beruchu Ba'Toyra Techila. They did not make a bracha before they studied Torah. That's simply what it means. Look at the beginning of your Rashi. Rashi in the Gemara there in the Bava Metzia says, "Kishayoyskin b'Torah, lo hayu mevarchin lefanech." We make two brachas. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvot zvanu la'asoyk b'dibesara. Asher bachar banu. The Chavonas Akas is a quote from Rashi. Asher nasati lifnehem. He al habracha shalifnei divrei HaTorah. Look at the drasha. How Rashi understands the Gemara. Asher tosim lif, asher nasati lifnehem. Lifnei. You did not, you abandoned the Torah which I've given lifnehem. The word lifnehem appears to be superfluous. It's here for a drasha that you did not fulfill the part of the Torah that comes before the bracha you make before you study Torah. The Kevon Shloi Beruch Hu, since they did not bless, make a bracha. Here's Rashi's words. Rashi is very simple. Gilui daitom she'ein zelohem matana chashuva. It's not a significant gift. They did not value Torah. Now, question is, what exactly does this mean? So simply, question, and this really touches upon a much more basic question. What exactly is the nature of Birchos HaTorah? In Halacha, we make a bracha for many different reasons. It's Birchos HaNenin. Before you derive pleasure from this world, you must make a bracha. Before you eat an apple, before you even drink a cup of water, if you're thirsty, you must make a bracha. Then there are Birchos HaMitzvos. Hashem, we don't have pleasure. Mitzvos Lav. But before you do a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha. And then there are shevach v'hoidah. The shevach v'hoidah, you give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Question is, what is Birchos HaTorah? And the truth is, it's all three. The truth is, Birchos HaTorah, all three. In fact, there's a drush that we really make three brachas. We make Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvah Sadla Asoik b'divrei Sarah. Then we say the Harevna, and then we say Asher Bochar Banu. So the bracha La'asok B'divrei Sora is considered to be La'asok, is to be a Birchos HaMitzvos. You've given us the command, there's a mitzvah to be Oisek in Torah, La'asok B'divrei Sora, that's the Birchos HaMitzvos. Then we say the bracha of the Harevna, that's Birchos HaNenin, it should be sweet. It should be pleasant. That's Birchos HaNenin. And then when you make the bracha, Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol Ha'amim, there's Birchos HaShevach, a bracha of praise. We make every single day three brachas, which according to some, really captures the essence of the three possible blessings that a person could make. Each one of them, we didn't make, the three brachas were not made. So that really is captured in the words of Rashi. We didn't consider it to be a commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's significant, that's worthy, that's worthy, so we didn't make a bracha. We didn't derive pleasure from learning the Torah, and we didn't consider it to be something which is deserving of praise, so we did not make Birchos HaShevach either. Okay, so therefore, that's one very important interpretation, because when it comes to other mitzvahs, it's pretty clear cut. You're either in category 1, category 2, category 3. So if you don't make the bracha, you're only in violation of one of these concepts. But when it comes to Birchos HaTorah, when you don't make a bracha Birchos HaTorah, or the Birchos HaTorah, you're basically rejecting three principles of Yadus. You're rejecting the principle that Hashem gave us mitzvos. You're rejecting the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvos, the Torah, is a benefit. It is something which we derive great benefit in this world and in the next world. And we lack appreciation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, appreciation of that Birchos HaShevach. Okay, that is one approach. Another very beautiful approach is, it was not a priority. Today we live in a world, there's a new phenomenon, did not exist years ago. Everyone's into brachas. Give me a bracha. Everyone, give you a bracha, give you a bracha. Everyone thinks that the yeshuva is going to come from getting a bracha. So you run to get a bracha from a tzaddik. I'm not saying it's not a bad thing. You go to run to Eretz Yisrael, to run to all the tzaddik and get a bracha. And then everyone in the room, you see, give me a bracha, give me a bracha, give me a bracha. Yeah, I don't know, years ago, you didn't see people doing this. People didn't believe, people felt, took responsibility for themselves. If they wanted blessing, it's in my hand. It's my responsibility to be a good person. Today we're looking for quick fix. Shortcuts. I don't have to do anything. I can just glide through life. Let someone else go and give me the bracha. That's unfortunately the attitude today. But when you do hear people going for brachas, so what do people say? You should be a Talmud Chacham, a Yerush Shemayim, and you should also have Parnasa. You should also have Parnasa. If you go to a person, they say to you, you have Parnasa. Or let's say, what bracha do you want? I want a bracha of a Parnasa. And I want a bracha that I should be a Yerush Shemayim. I should be a Talmud Chacham. What's your priority? What's your priority? And this generation, when parents gave blessings to their children, the priority was always money. I give you a bracha, you should be rich, you should be successful, you should have great parnasa, and you should also be kaveit in Latara. Also be kaveit, and you should learn a few hours during the day. That's the second. It was not the priority. Sheloi berchoi, when one man blessed his fellow man, they did not bless batoira tchila. It was not the priority. The priority in life was money, success, kavod, money. That was the priority. Then we came to the second. The second thing was Torah. That's a very popular explanation of what it means. A third approach is more of a lomnisha approach. Lomnisha approach is when you let's say for example, you buy a lulav and esrog. You go to the store and you buy a lulav and esrog. So do you make a bracha when you go into the store? Asher kedushanim b'mitzvos v'sivanu al netilas lulav. No, because this is only the Hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to shake the lulav. So on the first day Sukkot, I'll make the bracha. Now when I'm making the preparations of selecting lulav and eshrog, that's not part of the mitzvah. In this generation, the people believe they made a mistake. A fundamental mistake is that the study of Torah, the only value in the study of Torah is to know what the halacha is. What is the bottom line? We don't need a shakel v'tari in the Gemara. I don't need to go through a daf Gemara. What does it say in the art scroll, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, in the footnotes? That's the bottom line. That's what I need to know. There's no purpose in going through the source, the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Rishonim, the Achronim, the Shulchan Aruch, Rambam. There's no purpose in going through the learning Torah, what we call today learning Torah Lishma. It's an abused term to learn Torah Lishma. It was learning the Mela, learning Torah was no different than going into the store to select a lulav and esrog. When I go into the store to select a lulav and esrog, that's not the mitzvah. That's a hechsher mitzvah. I'm making my preparations. When it will come the first day Sukkot, after all the preparations have been made, I've selected the aluminium, I have them all put together, all tied together, and it's all ready to go. Now the mitzvah is a very simple mitzvah, is to shake the mitzvah. Learning Torah, I'm going to make a bracha on learning Torah. That's not what Torah is about. Learning Torah, the goal of learning Torah, that's for what they do in college in order to come out. What is the bottom line? The bottom line, is it mutter or is it aser? Maybe when we get to the very, very end of the sugya, maybe at the end of the sugya, after spending a whole year learning a sugya, we come to the conclusion, so maybe we'll make a bracha. Maybe we'll make a bracha when we come out of lamaskan of what's going to be the halacha. But the entire preparation, the entire process, that's not. Therefore, they did not make a bracha. That was a fundamental mistake. In Yadus, there is this concept, and this has been written about and been discussed over and over, is just learning Torah, even though you do not come to the highest level. There's no question about it. Lasuke Shmaitz Aliba the Hilchasa is a very, very great thing. No one's questioning that concept, the highest level of learning, but yet there is great benefit and value in just the shakla vitari of learning a daf gemara what we call Torah Lishma, and that itself requires a bracha. The failure of the generation was Al Shaloi Berchoi Bat Torah Techila. Okay, this is a very important thing. No, it's interesting. This Haftorah, these psukim is the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, we go through the kinus, and the kinus is an elaboration. But the ikar, what you make a bracha, think about, what do you make a bracha on? The only words of Musar that you make a bracha on Tisha B'Av is the Haftorah. The words of the Nevi'im are words of Musar. Kinois is all Musar, but you do not make a bracha when you recite the Kinois. Even when you recite Eicha, you don't even say Eicha by day. Most shuls do not recite Eicha by day. And the shuls that with Eicha that recite at night, 95% of them do not make a bracha on Eicha. And these, so what then do you make a bracha? Which words of Musar do you make a bracha on? You make how many brachas? You make a bracha before, and four brachas after, five brachas. So which on what? On this pasuk, Alma of the Haaretz, ask the Nevi'im, ask the Chachamim. The answer is Shaloi Beruchoi Batara Tchilu. This pasuk Al Ozem Es Tarasi Asher Nasati Lefnehem V'Leishamu B'Karoli V'Hochu Ba. This is the Iker part of the Haftarah, the climax of the Haftarah. This pasuk, we make four brachos expressing the chashivas of this concept, of the chashivas of all the ideas that are found captured in the learning and the study of Torah. Okay, now there is another. Now there is a famous, question. Is what about the Gimel Averos Chamuros? There's Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, Shvichas Tamim. How do we reconcile what it says in the Gemara that the Bayis Risha was schar because of the Gimel Averos Chamuros? What it says here in this pasuk, the Shloi Berach Batara Tchila. So the answer, there are many answers. One answer is that the truth is the Chorban was sealed because of the Gimel Averos Chamuros. How did Klal Yisrael, the Mitzudas and the Radak really allude to this? How did Klal Yisrael come to a state when they were nichshal in Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Tamim? It's because it all started with Shaloi Berchoi Batorah Tchila. This was the beginning of the slippery slope which resulted in the Gimel Averos Chamuros. That was the Gemar. This is the haschol of the root cause. Okay, another answer to this question is, this is a very deep answer, it's going back al-mo of the Haaretz. We have a principle that Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz HaTzvi. The Gemara says that just like a deer, its skin expands to accommodate its basar, when a deer is slaughtered and is flayed, it is shocking that the skin, which shrivels, was able to cover the entire body of this large animal. And the Gemara acknowledges that it does seem to be a little bit bizarre. How could such a small piece of flesh cover? It shrunk. And as long as the deer is alive, it is the nature of the skin of the deer to expand, to accommodate. Eretz Yisrael is a land that expands, and accommodates growth, unlike any other country in the world. Every other country in the world, if you want to expand and build a new development, the infrastructure must be present. You just can't go and build a new community unless you have the economy is ready, and you have roads, and you have water, and you have everything, all of the conditions, infrastructure, it's critical for it to survive. Chazal say that in Eretz Yisrael, it's l'malo miderech hateva. The infrastructure will miraculously expand based upon the population. And so the Mefarshim explained that leading up to the time of the Chorban, Klal Yisrael found that the land was not expanding. Not only was it not expanding, the country was collapsing. Is that the economy was collapsing. Everything in the country, the population was there. Everything was there like it was for the last 400, 500 years, whatever, 400 years. And yet, nothing was working. Alma of the Haaretz means why are we not zoichet to the bracha of survival of Eretz HaTzvi? So the answer is, you know why? Because Shlei Berchu Ba'atara Tchila. It's not a question of why the earth was destroyed, the Golos. That's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Nitzitzo Chamidbar, it's of the Haaretz, Nitzitzo Chamidbar Mibli Oiver. Okay, that those words really seem to describe Chorban. But the emphasis is the Chorban and the Golos, the Chorban and the Golos came through Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, and Shrichas Tanin. However, the operation, the continuous survival and the healthy economy, and the fact that the country survived and expanded and society was successful, that was avad when there was no priority in Torah. In other words, you can have parnasa, and you can have everything can be fine and good, but yet you can't survive. No matter how hard you try, nothing works. Nothing seems to work. And then there are times when a person doesn't have parnasa. Al derech hateva, you ask the person, how do you survive? Your income is not anything near what you need to support your family. I don't know. Somehow, miraculously, I survive. Again, the other time, you have a person that they're making $500,000, and yet they can't keep their head above water. So what's the difference? So that's what the first one I want to say is, when the priority is Torah, then even on a string shoe budget, somehow miraculously HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to expand its Eretz HaTzvi. Somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you. But when you're not, your priority is not Baruch Hu Ba'Torah Tchila, then no matter how much you're making, no matter how successfully it would appear you are, Al Derech HaTeva, there's always going to be another expense. There's always going to be another problem. There's always going to be something that's missing that's just going to prevent you from being able to succeed. Okay, these are some of the basic ideas, and we'll stop over here with Pasuk Yud Aleph.